Interesting sequence of verses, last few verses. It shows Ashwatthama in his, you could say, emotional state, his vengeful state. Shishi Radhika Kunanda Kijai, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Kijai, Shishi Gornatai Kijai. Yes, Ashwatthama is a special personality, actually. We can see the classic enviousness of a person who cannot let go of their animosity for those that somehow he can't get along with. And that in this situation of defeat in war, somehow they seem to rather want to destroy their lives for the sake of their envy and hatred. So actually, there are many people like this in this world. And certainly, we too, if we're not careful to satisfy the body, will destroy ourselves for the sake of our enjoyment, our satisfaction. And Ashwatthama has a different sort of satisfaction. He wants to fulfill his revenge. So it's something to consider, because I remember that one particular class by a Srila Prabhupada disciple, he said that actually our feelings for animosity and envy can be very strong, especially at the time of death. And actually, because they don't let go of us so readily, because it's been a part of our nature, if we're not careful. So we need higher knowledge. We need the knowledge that comes from Srimad Bhagavatam. And also, kirtan. The chanting of the holy names. And certainly this last weekend, we had it at Radhadash Mellows. You know, is an interesting aspect. Certainly with the holy names, it has such a powerful influence on also this these feelings that dwell in us. They can be destroyed just by Harinam Sankirtan, congregational chanting the holy names. And that person, or these persons, or in general, all the animosity that we may feel, somehow Lord Chaitanya brought us a special medicine that actually this should be destroyed. And it was destroyed, and it is destroyed by the holy names, the chanting of the holy names congregationally. That means that together, and this was a bit of an experiment with myself, this particular weekend, because somehow I'm a bit of a separate person from this particular this service. So I needed some medicine, definitely. I needed much medicine. And it was there at that place. So we're going to find out now what happens when a devotee stays chaste to the Lord, and also the power of their devotional service, what it can do. So, I just wanted to read the previous verse, which will lead into this current verse. It would be the English translation, but it's quite crucial. The two sort of go hand in hand. This was just after Ashwatthama had released his dangerous weapon. And it says, "The almighty personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, having observed that a great danger was befalling his unalloyed devotees, who were fully surrendered souls, at once took up his Sudarshan disc to protect them. So we continue now with today's verse. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. The Lord of Supreme Mysticism, Sri Krishna, resides within everyone's heart as the Paramatma. As such, just to protect the progeny of the Kuru dynasty, he covered the embryo of Uttara by his personal energy. So if you repeat each phrase after me. The Lord of Supreme Mysticism, Sri Krishna, resides within everyone's heart as the Paramatma. As such, just to protect the progeny of the Kuru dynasty, he covered the embryo of Uttara by his personal energy. Purport. The Lord of Supreme Mysticism can simultaneously reside within everyone's heart or even within the atoms by his Paramatma feature, his plenary portion. Therefore, from within the body of Uttara, he covered the embryo to save Maharaj Parikshit and protect the progeny of Maharaj Kuru, of whom King Pandu was also a descendant. Both the sons of Dhritarashtra and those of Pandu belong to the same dynasty of Maharaj Kuru. Therefore, both of them were generally known as Kurus. But when there were differences between the two families, the sons of Dhritarashtra were known as Kurus, whereas the sons of Pandu were known as the Pandavas. Since the sons and grandsons of Dhritarashtra are all killed in the battle of Kurukshetra, the last son of the dynasty is designated as the son of the Kurus. Om Jnanatim Marandasya Jananjana Salakeya Chakshon Milatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So, it was an interesting last statement in the last purport of just before this. It says, although the battle of Kurukshetra was almost finished, still, according to his vow, he should not have taken up his own weapon. But the emergency was more important than the vow. This is talking about Krishna. He vowed not to use any weapons during the battle, but it said it had almost finished. So he is better known as the Bhakta Vatsal, or the lover of his devotee, and thus he preferred to continue as Bhakta Vatsal than to be a worldly moralist who never breaks his solemn vow. It's a powerful statement there. You know, reading in the Bhagavad Gita, it says that in our lives there are pious and impious activities, and also in our previous lives. And both pious and impious are from the based on material nature. They are not transcendental. They are of this world. And so many things, and if we're not careful, we get bound up. Devotees, they're caring, aren't they? They have this natural thing. And this is Arjun. He was caring. He had to be enlightened on the battlefield at Kurukshetra as what his position was on the battlefield. That what is nature, how his nature could be fulfilled in knowing his position and his relationship with Krishna. He had to be enlightened and given knowledge. So here, the same with us. We have to distinguish between the world of piety and impiety. We have to know what is the difference between that and transcendental service, devotional service. You see, there's a thing that we call sentiment in this world. Sentiment that actually, if we're not careful, can destroy our transcendental nature. It causes us to, if we're not careful, form separate groups based on piety. You know, to save the environment, to not take anything to do with animals, you know, veganism, all these things, all these pious thoughts and charity, giving in charity. You see, they're to do with what Prabhupada called sentiment. Sentiment doesn't last, but knowledge does, he points out. We have to go to knowledge, attach ourselves to the knowledge of how to please Krishna, how to serve him, and that piety is in the mode of goodness, impiety in the mode of ignorance and passion. So when we look at these, the piety and impiety of this world are both on the modes of material nature. So that binds us to this world. It keeps us here. And if we don't realize that, we won't do what Krishna wants. He says that this world is dukkhalyam. It's a certain truth to that. But the devotee also understands that by nature, and Prabhupada explains in Canto 3, Chapter 25, he describes that actually that this world is controlling us under the modes of material nature. Like it's the other nature of Krishna, Maya. There's Yoga Maya, which is the pure service, devotional service. And there's Maha Maya, which is also worshipped in this world, that brings satisfaction in this world, whether it be the body or the mind or in the intelligence. You see, we have to know the difference between real ego and false ego. Now, Ashvatthama, he's very attached to this world and that which he regards as his enemy. But the sadhu, they don't have enemies. They don't see enemies. They see conditioned souls. They see suffering of the conditioned souls, knowingly or unknowing, that actually we're suffering. Example of that was when I was staying with my mother and she had arthritis. It was very painful for her. and she suffered a great deal. But somehow she was accepting it to some degree. But how she saw everything, whether it be of a transcendental nature, she couldn't quite see the point. Suffering covers the eyes, actually, sometimes. And she saw through the eyes of pain everything. So there didn't seem to be any good in the world. And this is the eyes of pain. And this was by Prabhupada. He saw that the suffering souls were in pain. They were suffering. They were committing all sorts of heinous activities and pious activities in the name of under the control of material nature. They didn't have the knowledge that would transcend what they're in. So here, Lord Bhaktivatsal, he rescues devotees. So how do we become devotees? We have to know what Krishna wants from us, rather than the things that what this world wants from us, the demands of this world. If you do this, you'll be a good person. If you do this, you're evil. Both are wrong. Both are captured by the modes of material nature, because it's attached to ego, false ego. How we see a person as evil? No, they're under the evil influence of the material nature. The soul is there all the same. Krishna feeds everyone, as well as the good person, the birds, the ants, all of them. He's a perfect parent, actually. He's detached, but he maintains. Lord Chaitanya, he was worshipped in a way as also the supreme maintainer. When his devotees recognized his glories as the Supreme Lord, then they started to understand so much more about the Supreme Lord, but they also understood that he was trying to show them how to be a devotee. So he was supreme, and yet he was a devotee. And the interesting thing, that made him the supreme renunciant, because he renounced his lordship. And whenever they would call him the Lord, they would cover his ears and then say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And he was trying to show us how we should behave under the glorification, an influence of glorification. Certainly, we've got to be certainly very careful. And glorification means an acknowledgement of service. And service is the aspect that we glorify. All glories to your service. But we don't go, it's me. Because we know it isn't me. Service is an expansion of Shamata Radharani's internal, she's the internal potency of the Lord. It's an expansion of her. And it's mercy. It's available, and it's only mercy. And if we act as though it is mercy, that we're given a chance to serve. Because then comes knowing our good fortune. It's a very wonderful thing. So we have to know the difference between the glorification of ourselves and the glorification of the service. The self, if you're doing service with a nice service mood, you're fortunate. It's a very good thing. It's a blessing, and it's given to you. And you say, thanks for your kind words. You acknowledge their recognition of service. That's in their eyes too. That's a reflection of their heart. What they see. They see Krishna there. They see Radharani acting. They see that actually, gradually, by this process of involving ourselves in the Krishna Katha of Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find out that actually what the nature of the soul is, and that actually we're part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. And realizing that we're Anu and he's Vipu, he's great, we're small, then all of a sudden that we become free of this strange old thing called false ego that somehow grabs us if we're not careful, especially in disagreements. Because false ego is, Prabhupada, he explains to Jayabhataka Swami in a letter, and he talks about surrender. He says that actually when devotees quarrel or have differences, you should know that this is a symptom of their lack of advancement in Krishna consciousness. That we should understand that actually, basically, that it's an activity of the material nature, the modes of material nature, like and dislike. We're born into love and hatred. You know, this, it's all based on the body, our previous lives, activities and desires. And we've got the body like that. So our good fortune is that Prabhupada came and showed us the nature of sadhu. How that actually he's tolerant under all circumstances. How he was serving all sorts of people that would be kicked out of here. Out of this temple. They'll be kicked out. Because of their nature. Sri Sri Radha Gokul Nandakishai, Sri Sri Gaur Nithai Kishai, Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Kishai. So, what do we do? You know, when the situation occurs, when we're influenced by all sorts of people that come in here, we want them to be all the same. It's not like that. We can see the power of devotional service in all of us. That how we were before we came in ourselves, and how that somehow we've been given a gift that changes your nature. And then we start to realize that actually we can say, sorry, that was my fault. Somehow something I did to promote some awkward situation was based on how I was, or some misunderstanding from myself. We don't look at the other person. Bhaktisiddhanta, he says that actually our faults must be found in ourselves, not in others. Fault finding is that of anti-soul. Anti-soul. What that means is the soul can only glorify. It sees Krishna in everything. It wants Krishna and is only attracted to Krishna. And this attraction will bring us back to Krishna. And then what happens, but in our criticism, that doesn't bring us back to Krishna. Our criticism will bind us to this material world because it's part of our nature, accept and reject. So we should accept Krishna in all his forms, in all our difficulties, in all our happiness. We should understand Krishna is behind everything. So not that person, not this person, not me. It's Krishna. Even the great devotees, they would act sometimes mysteriously. We'd say that's a terrible thing to do. And this is the understanding of the materialist. They don't know anything about transcendence. Krishna said, Arjuna, you must kill these. And it's completely misunderstood. He's treated like a warmonger. We don't understand that actually whatever God does, whatever Krishna does, it's for good. Here we have Super Soul. He's protecting his devotee. But in that past, in the last bit, it said, pure devotees, their service, by their service they're protected. Completely protected. He will come through Super Soul and protect that devotee. Now, how do we recognize this? We recognize it through this. How he came and an expansion of his energy saved the embryo of Maharaj Parikshit, a forthcoming pure devotee. But also, the devotee was holding or carrying this devotee in her womb. So he will be the savior of his devotee in all circumstances. But sometimes we cannot see it. That actually we're being saved when we create some apparat. Only in such a way will we be saved, by acknowledging our own apparat. Like King Parikshit, when he left the sage, put a snake round his neck. He was full of regret, full of repentance. But what had happened? A materialist would have said, you know, like somehow under the influence of Kali, Maharaj Parikshit put that dead snake around the sage's neck when he wasn't satisfied because of his own frustrations with his body, his thirst. But he regretted it. He saw, in looking back, he said, let my reaction come now. Do it now. He didn't say, oh, I didn't want it, I regret it, but I won't do it again. He didn't say that. He said, let all reaction come now. And so what happened, Prabhupada explains, the devotee feels repentant. But a non-devotee, he says, he should have given me that. I'm a king. I'm a devotee. He says, you shouldn't behave like that to me. And so he has no regret. What he did is justified. How we spoke to that person. You're not giving me what I want. You're not giving me enough of what I want. That's not a devotee. Because he says, don't you know I'm a devotee? And it says in scripture, anybody who says I'm a devotee is not a devotee. But we see each other as devotees. That's the difference. And we should see that. Because we're on the path of devotional service. The purified process of Bhakti Yoga. We're sadhakas. And this is our good fortune. We should take us beyond this reaction that's saying, I'm a devotee. I'm a brahmana. I'm a sannyasi. We go beyond that. That humility takes over. So Prabhupada had to tolerate so much in his early days when even his own disciples were disobeying him. But somehow he would say, come back. Come back. Let's talk about this. He would always, this was his nature. He thought nobody should be lost to Krishna. No one, irrespective of whatever's happened. And so what we have here is a situation, an act of vengeance that wants to destroy a devotee. So what does Krishna do? He protects. And in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Sharanagati, there is this special section and prayers that I recommend you to read. I can read some of it now, which talks about Krishna as the protector. This is Avasya Rakshabe Krishna. It says, Vishvasa Palana, faith in Krishna as protector. It says here, now I have understood, O Lord, that your feet are eternally full of sweet nectar that dispels all sorrow and fear. It's when we come absorbed in Krishna and that we see how actually he's always the protector, and that in all circumstances, adverse or wonderful, you know, ecstatic, that he's always our protector. And we have to be protected from adverse conditions and also ecstatic conditions. Because ecstasy also means, if we're not careful, there's a little person in there still wanting a little bit of recognition. No, ecstasy comes from Krishna. It says super soul recognizes and he brings joy into the heart of the devotee. He brings knowledge into the heart of the devotee because of their service, which he knows is an expansion of Radharani's mercy. So Radharani's helping us. And so he says, surrendering myself and all I possess unto your lotus feet, I have laid myself down submissively under their shelter. So everything we possess, we've laid down to him. You know, we can have so many, try and protect ourselves in so many ways. But unless Krishna says, let this medicine work, let this yoga work, or let this whatever help that we may need for this body, that only Krishna can do it as super soul. And then he says, your lotus feet are certainly the shelter for me. There is no other protection in this world of birth and death. At last, I know myself to be your eternal servant. Now the burden of my maintenance is exclusively yours. And that's just a realization. He's not passing the buck. He's understanding that Krishna is just doing everything. That actually, that we're just his part and parcel. And in the spiritual world, he is not in this, Prabhupada distinguishes between God in this world and our worship of him, and God in the spiritual world, how he is worshipped in the spiritual world. God is worshipped in this world as our protector, maintainer, and we see his glories. He's given us some vision. But in the spiritual world, they don't see his glories. They don't see that he's the controller. They see only that they should serve him and wrestle with him and hit him and play with him. That's Krishna in the spiritual world. It's the topmost, Goloka Vrindavan. It's an amazing situation where God in this world, he's the same God, but he has to act in a certain way in this situation for the souls that have somehow separated themselves from him. He's the taskmaster. He's trying to teach you your task. Task means your job. And sometimes the taskmaster is kind, sometimes the taskmaster is certainly like Maya, beats us, and then we suffer. We, you know, suffer all sorts of things in this world. So we have to acknowledge that still it's the same, the taskmaster, but he's the supreme taskmaster. It's out of love. He's looking after us one way or t'other. He gives us understanding of how service is actually so special to him, and that service to ourselves means suffering. So he says, that's so now the burden of my maintenance is exclusively yours. So here too is another example that somehow or other Krishna comes to his surrendered devotees. I think that's about it that I can think of to say. Any comments, questions? It's a very wonderful thing, because it's, you never know where it's going to end with Prabhupada and his purports, because of his deep explanations. No? Okay. So we'll finish there. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanande.